Tea time.
Tea time.
Tea time.
Tea time. Tea time lecture.
The story of Tuan McGarrel continues. Chapter 4. Finian was not one who remained long in bewilderment. He thought on the might of God, and he became that might and was tranquil. He was one who loved God and Ireland, and to the person who could instruct him in these great themes, he gave all the interest of his mind and the sympathy of his heart. "It is a wonder you tell me, Machree," he said, "and now you must tell me more." "What must I tell?" asked Tuan, resignedly. "Tell me of the beginning of time in Ireland, and of the bearing of Partholon, the son of Noah's son." "I have almost forgotten him," said Tuan. "A greatly bearded, greatly shouldered man he was, a man of sweet deeds and sweet ways." "Continue," said Finian. "He came to Ireland in a ship. 24 men and 24 women came with him, but before that time no man had come to Ireland, and in the western parts of the world no human being lived or moved. As we drew on Ireland from the sea, the country seemed like an unending forest. Far as the eye could reach, and in whatever direction, there were trees, and from these came the unceasing singing of birds. Over all that land the sun shone warm and beautiful, so that to our sea-weary eyes, our wind-tormented ears, it seemed as if we were driving on paradise. We landed, and we heard the rumble of water going gloomily through the darkness of the forest. Following the water, we came to a glade where the sun shone and where the earth was warmed, and there Partholon rested with his 24 couples and made a city and a livelihood. There were fish in the rivers of Era. There were animals in her coverts. Wild and shy and monstrous creatures ranged in her plains and forests, creatures that no one could see through and walk through. Long we lived in ease, and we saw new animals grow, the bear, the wolf, the badger, the deer, and the boar. Partholon's people increased until from 24 couples there came 5,000 people who lived in amity and contentment, although they had no wits. "They had no wits," Finian commented. "They had no need of wits," Tuan said. "I have heard that the firstborn were mindless," said Finian. "Continue your story, my beloved." "Then, sudden as a rising wind, between one night and a morning, there came a sickness that bloated the stomach and purpled the skin, and on the seventh day all of the race of Partholon were dead, save one man only." "There always escapes one man," said Finian thoughtfully. "And I am that man," his companion affirmed. Tuan shaded his brow with his hand, and he remembered backwards, through incredible ages, to the beginning of the world and the first days of Era. And Finian, with his blood again running chill and his scalp crawling uneasily, stared backwards with him. Chapter 5. "Tell on, my dear," Finian murmured. "I was alone," said Tuan. "I was so alone that my own shadow frightened me. I was so alone that the sound of a bird in flight or the creaking of a dew-drenched bough whipped me to cover as a rabbit is scared to his burrow. The creatures of the forest scented me and knew I was alone. They stole with silken pad behind my back and snarled when I faced them. The long grey wolves with hanging tongues and staring eyes chased me to my cleft rock. There was no creature so weak but it might hunt me. There was no creature so timid but it might outface me. And so I lived for 2 tens of years and 2 years, until I knew all that a beast surmises and had forgotten all that a man had known. I could pad as gently as any. I could run as tirelessly. I could be invisible and patient as a wildcat crouching among leaves. I could smell danger in my sleep and leap at it with wakeful claws. I could bark and growl and clash with my teeth and tear with them. "Tell on, my beloved," said Finian. "You shall rest in God, dear heart." "At the end of that time," said Tuan, "Nemed, the son of Agnoman, came to Ireland with a fleet of 34 barks, and in each bark there were 30 couples of people." "I have heard it," said Finian. "My heart leapt for joy when I saw the great fleet rounding the land, and I followed them along scarped cliffs, leaping from rock to rock like a wild goat, while the ships tacked and swung, seeking a harbour. There I stooped to drink at a pool, and I saw myself in the chill water. I saw that I was hairy and tufty and bristled and a savage boar, that I was lean as a stripped bush, that I was greyer than a badger, withered and wrinkled like an empty sack, naked as a fish, wretched as a starving crow in winter, and on my fingers and toes there were great curving claws, so that I looked like nothing that was known, like nothing that was animal or divine. And I sat by the pool, weeping my loneliness and wildness and my stern old age, and I could do no more than cry and lament between the earth and the sky, while the beasts that tracked me listened from behind the trees or crouched amongst bushes to stare at me from their drowsy covert. A storm arose, and when I looked again from my tall cliff, I saw that great fleet rolling as in the giant's hand. At times there were pitched against the sky and staggered aloft, spinning gustily there like wind-blown leaves. Then they were hurled from these dizzy tops to the flat moaning gulf, to the glassy inky horror that swirled and whirled between 10 waves. At times a wave leaped howling under a ship, and with a buffet dashed it into air and chased it upwards with thunder stroke on stroke, and followed again, close as a chasing wolf, trying with hammering on hammering to beat in the wide-wombed bottom and suck out the frightened lives through one black gape. A wave fell on a ship and sunk it down with a thrust, stern as though a whole sky had tumbled at it, and the bark did not cease to go down until it crashed and sank in the sand at the bottom of the sea. The night came, and with it a thousand darknesses fell from the screeching sky. Not a round-eyed creature of the night might pierce an inch of that multiplied gloom. Not a creature dared creep or stand, for a great wind strode the world, lashing its league-long whips in cracks of thunder, and singing to itself, now in a world-wide yell, now in an ear-dizzying hum and buzz, or with a long snarl and whine it hovered over the world, searching for life to destroy. And at times, from the moaning and yelping blackness of the sea, there came a sound, thin-drawn as from millions of miles away, distinct as though uttered in the ear like a whisper of confidence. And I knew that a drowning man was calling on his God as he thrashed and was battered into silence, and that a blue-lipped woman was calling on her man as her hair whipped round her brows and she whirled about like a top. Around me the trees were dragged from the earth with dying groans. They leaped into the air and flew like birds. Great waves whizzed from the sea, spinning across the cliffs and hurtling to the earth in monstrous clots of foam. The very rocks came trundling and sliding and grinding among the trees, and in that rage and in that horror of blackness, I fell asleep, or I was beaten into slumber.